We're on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we're on the second line, Tanit Vedam Shmal. Okay, so we're speaking about different types of blood and whether that blood is able to be machshir l'tuma, whether that's considered a liquid, that if it comes in contact with a foodstuff, then now that foodstuff is susceptible to tuma. Okay, so Tanit Vedam Shmal was taught in Yishev Rabbi Shmal. V'dam chalalim yishteh, the pasuk we quoted yesterday, which says, the blood of the slain you will drink. Prat l'dam kiluach, this is excluding the blood of the stream, meaning the blood that sprays. So Rashi says, when you draw out blood from an animal, when you kill it, so initially there is this, first shoises petipa achas, or tshtaim. First is a little bit of a dribble, and then there's a spurt, a fountain of blood. And then that blood is very, very red. And then the blood gets darker and it starts to more ebb out slowly. And Rabbi Shmuel says that this dam kiluach, this spray of blood that comes out at the beginning, so that is not considered dam chalolim, because it's not the life force of the animal. And therefore, that blood will not render something susceptible to tumah. She'ena machshir sazroim, it does not render foodstuffs as susceptible to tumah. Tanur Rabbanu was taught in a braisa, hasheched, if a person shechted an animal, the hit is dam al hadlas, and at the beginning of the shechita, a spray of blood went out onto a pumpkin, onto a squash. And Rashi says over here, we're obviously talking about where it was already tulusha was detached from the ground, because when foodstuffs are still attached to the ground, they're not makabel tuma at all. And it's of truma. So that's the concern. So this blood has gone onto the dlas shel truma. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Huchshir, that this blood is machshir l'tumah. Rabbi Chia Omer, Toilin, Rabbi Chia says, Toilin. Toilin implies a suffix. There's a doubt over here, and we'll see what that means. Amr Rabbi Yishai says, Machash Rabbi Omer Huchshir. Since Rabbi says this shchita blood renders the pumpkin susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Chia Omer, Toilin, and Rabbi Chia says that it's Toilin, suffix. Anu Ami Nismaich. Who will we rely on? Boyu v'nismech al divrei Rabbi Shimon. We will rely on the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah. Shai Rabbi Shimon omer shchita machsheres v'loy dam. Taking the understanding of Rabbi Shimon that when he says that even if there is no blood, the animal is still rendered susceptible to tumah because the shchita itself is machsher, even if there is no blood. Okay, says Rashi over here.
Wait a minute, but here you've got the shchitas machshir, the animal.
Yes.
To be mukshir kabel tuma. But here what you have is blood coming out of the mouth going onto the vegetable.
Okay.
And the issue is what happens with that vegetable. So how do you link it back to the animal itself?
To the case of the.
That's what Shimon is saying.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see how the Gemara elaborates this, because this teaching is very cryptic, and we have two ways of understanding it. Amar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa says like this. Let's go back to Machloikas of Rebbe Rebbe Chia. Hakom Moidim, both of them are in agreement. Heichad Isal Adam Mitchila Vad Zoif, if the blood was there from the beginning to the end of the Shechita, as Rashi says over here. Heichad Isal Adam Al Adlas Ad Gemar Shechita Shaloi Niskaneach. That the blood was there sitting on the pumpkin from the beginning of the Shechita all the way till the end, meaning it did not get wiped off in the interim. Kul, in that such a case, kula amaloi pligi de machshir, everybody agrees that it is machshir for tuma. Ki pligi, where do Rabbi and Rabbi Chia argue, beniskaneach hadam, in a case where the blood got wiped off, bein simon le simon, in the middle of the shchita, between shechting one of the simonim and the other. In such a case, Rabbi Savar, yeshna le shchita mitchila vatsoif, since Rabbi holds that there is shchita from beginning to the end, that means the initial blood that went onto the pumpkin was already blood of shchita, and therefore, according to him, it will render the food susceptible to tumah. Bahai dam shchitu, and therefore this dam is dam shchita that came out at the beginning. Rabbi Chia savar, but Rabbi Chia says ein le shchita le basoif. That no, the shchita is only at the end. If so, the beginning of the cutting, bahai dam, the blood which came out at the beginning onto a pumpkin, dam makahu, is from a wound. Now, in a case where it was there from beginning to the end of the shchita, so once the shchita is done, lemafreya, it turns out that the initial blood was dam shchita, and therefore even Rabbi Chia would say it was tamei. That's what we're saying. We would agree if it was there mitchila vatsoif. But if it got wiped off in the interim, so then according to Rabbi Chia, well, if the shchita wasn't finished, that initial blood was only dam makkah, and dam makkah, blood from a wound, does not render something susceptible to tumah. And what does it mean, umay toilin? What does it mean, toilin then? Toilin means a suffix, but here we don't have a suffix anymore. If it was there from beginning to end, even Rabbi Chiya would say it's makshir l'tumah. If it got wiped off in the middle, it's dam makkah, so why is it makshir? Why is there a suffix? So he says, what does toilin mean here? Toilin means toilin hadavar ad gemar shchita. That if the blood remains there, then it remains in limbo, hanging until the shchita is finished. Because if the shchita is finished and the dam is still there, then even Rabbi Chiya would agree that it is mukshir l'tuma. Okay. He is fine.
If it's susceptible to tuma, it's not tuma yet.
Not yet, but it's susceptible.
So what would make a tuma?
What was that?
What would make it?
If, for example, sheretz or something else, touch a person, touch it with unclean hands, as we had the discussion with regards to truma. Now he says like this, what are we delaying for? We wait till the end of the shchita. If the blood is still there present at besoif shchita at the end, then machshir. But if it's not there anymore, got wiped off, then loy machshir. Now, umay bo v'nismei chadivir Rabbi Shimon. Then, what does the hemshech mean when it says we will rely on Rabbi Shimon? The Rabbi Shimon loy machshir, the Rabbi Chiya machshir. Hang one second. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that when he says v'loy loy dam, the way we understood Rabbi Shimon's view in the Gemara previously, and this answers your question, Moshe, is when we said that shchita machshir v'loy dam, it's not saying there was no blood, but it means that he holds that dam shchita is not machshir, only shchita is machshir. So this dam, this shchita blood is not machshir. So Rabbi Shimon says it's not machshir at all, even if it was there at the end. Rabbi Chiya says if it was there at the end, machshir does render the thing susceptible to tumah. So why are we saying we'll rely on Rabbi Shimon to follow Rabbi Chiya over Rabbi? It's got nothing to do. Says the Gemara, b'niskaneach miu ashve la'adadi. In the case where it was wiped off, they are in agreement. Because Rebbe says like this, there's shchita mitchil v'ad sof, and therefore even the blood coming on at the beginning, at the very beginning, it would render the pumpkin susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Chiya says that in such a case, if it got wiped off and it was only there at the beginning, it's not susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Shimon at least will rely on, because he says even if it was there till the end, it wouldn't be makabel tumah, because dam shchita is not rendered susceptible to tumah, and therefore we rely on Rabbi Shimon in the case where it got wiped off to follow the view of Rabbi Chiya over the Rebbe. Why? Mar loy machshir umar loy machshir. Therefore, have a lay Rebbe chad ve'ein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim. In a case where it got wiped off, then Rebbe would be a das yachid, an individual opinion, whereas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya would agree, and the opinion of one does not stand in place of two. So that's Rav Papa's explanation. Now we see Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Rashi. Now the way Rav Papa explained toilin is out of its usual context. Toilin means it's a suffix. Here Rashi says no, it's not a suffix. Toilin means we wait and see, was the blood there still on the pumpkin at the end of the shchita. So Ravashi says no. Toilin la'oila mashma. The word toilin implies that there is a suffix that will remain forever. Or as Rashi says, Ache yovei Elio v'yodienu, until Elio will come and resolve the suffix for us. And he didn't say toilin adavash. We don't say just wait till the end and then we'll see. So therefore, Ravashi brings a different explanation. Toilin la'oila mashma. V'niskanech, and in a case of getting wiped off, if the blood was there at the beginning and got wiped off in the middle of the shchita between one siman and the next, Rabbi Chiya mesufukim mesapkele. Rabbi Chiya has a doubt. That's why he says toilin. It's a suffix. What's his doubt? Mesapkele I yeshna l'shchita mischila v'ad soif oy ein l'shchita ela b'soif. He has a suffix. Is the whole process from beginning to end considered shchita? In which case, the blood on the pumpkin is dam shchita and renders the food susceptible to tumah. Or the shchita is only at the soif, in which case the blood at the beginning, if it got wiped, would not render it as susceptible to tumah, and therefore he has a suffix in the case where it got wiped off, and therefore he says as follows: umay toilin. What does it mean then? Toilin loy oichlin v'loy surfin. Because it's a suffix like this. If the truma then got touched by sheretz or something tamei, observers, mensoid, or whatever it is, that foodstuff is like this. If we say the dam shchita that got wiped off rendered susceptible to tuma, so now it's tamei. And truma tamei you burn. If, however, it does not render it susceptible to tuma, then it didn't become tamei, and you're not allowed to burn it. You can't burn truma tahira. You could eat it. So therefore, toilin means you can't do either because it's a suffix. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat it, but you are not allowed to burn it. If so, if that's the explanation, umay boyu v'nismay chadivir Rabbi Shimon, what does it mean? Come and let us rely on Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon loy machshir, Rabbi Chiya sveika. Now, 1 second. Rabbi Shimon is of the view that the blood of the shechita klal does not render something susceptible to tumah. Rabbi Chiya says in the case where it got wiped off, there's a suffix, there's a doubt. So how's Rabbi Shimon a support for Rabbi Chiya? Says the Gemara le'inyan sreifa miu shavala adadi, with regards to burning, they're at least equal. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't burn the truma because it was never rendered susceptible to tumah at all, in which case the truma is tahor. And according to Rabbi Chiya, because of the suffix, you're not allowed to burn it. So at least with regards to not burning it, having to destroy it, that they are in agreement. Each one would not burn it. Therefore, havelei Rabbi Chad ve'ein dvarv shel echad b'makom shnayim. Again, Rabbi is a das yachid, in individual opinion. One versus two, and one does not stand in the place of two. V'hachi kamar, and this is what toilin means. Kegoin zois. This case, toilin v'loy oichlin. This case where we have a doubt. Which again, the doubt is according to Rabbi Chiya, if the blood got wiped off between one siman and the next, he has a doubt. Do we say shchita is mitchilav ad soif, from the beginning to end, it's all shchita, or only the end is the shchita, and the beginning was blood from a wound, which would not render susceptible to tumah? So he has a doubt, and therefore he says toilin. What does it mean? Loi oichlin veloi soifin. You cannot eat it, and you cannot burn it. Okay. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish asked the following question. Tzarid shel menachos. If you have a clump in the menachos came from flour. Rashi says, what's tzarid? So korte kemach, you have clumps of flour, which was tzabur, collected together in the middle of a mincha. Ve'ein shemen nichnas osoicha, and the oil does not go into it. The oil, in a mincha, the oil is supposed to be mixed through. But here, this clump, the oil does not go into it. Tzarid is a lashon yavesh, it means something which is dry. And the shaila now is like this. We know that oil is one of the liquids which renders something susceptible to tumah. So the mincha in general has been doused in oil, it's susceptible to tumah. But this clump, which is absolutely dry and has no oil there, is it now rendered susceptible to tumah? This is Reish Lakish's question. Tzarid shal menacha is coming from a mincha offering, moinim boi rishon v'sheni, oi ein moinim boi rishon v'sheni. His question is, do we count it as with regards to its tuma status? As we'll see, Rashi says over here that even though there is no oil, but kaimalan chibas hakodesh machsheres, the fact that the specialness of the fact that this is kodesh, that this is a sacrifice, a carbon, that itself renders it susceptible to tuma. But the question is, does it render it susceptible to tuma to the same extent as a liquid would? A liquid that renders something susceptible to tuma. So then you have all the rishon and sheni and shlishi, etc., etc. Right, it can pass on tumah to something else. But the question is, this that we say that where there's no liquid, chibas ha-koidesh, that it's the specialness of the fact that it's a sacrifice, that is what renders susceptible to tumah. Do the laws of sheni and shlishi now apply, or it's just that that thing is susceptible to tumah but cannot pass on? So he says, ki manye chibas ha-koidesh, lifsulei gufei, lemimnei beirishon v'sheni loi. Do we say that when we say chibas ha-koidesh, the specialness of the sacrifice, is what makes it, it only makes it possible, meaning that this is the end of the line, that it is Tomei and nothing else, would become Tomei and nothing else, if, but we don't count Rishon and Sheni from it. Or maybe no, or Dilma Loishnau, maybe there's no difference, and it's the same as if it got in contact with a liquid, that it's Huchshel Tuma through and through, and it can pass on Tuma also Rishon, Sheni, etc. Am Rebbe Lazar says, Toshma, come and learn proof. Mikol Ha'oicha Sheyi Achel, the Pasuk says, and this is the pasuk which is talking about hachshara b'mashkin. The pasuk says, "Mikol oich asheh yachel asheh yavei olav mayim yitma." And from this we learn yitamei, that any food that liquid went onto, mayim, water went onto, will become tamei. Then it says, "V'chol mashke asheh yishaseh," or any liquid that is drunk, "V'chol kli," in a liquid, yitma as well. So he says like this. What do we see from this? Oichel haba b'mayim huchshur. What do we see from the pasuk? The pasuk says that it's got to be a liquid. That food which comes from a liquid becomes susceptible to tumah, but food which has not come in contact with liquid is not susceptible to tumah. So he says as follows that. This pasuk is, well, so the Gemara says, hang on a second. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that this pasuk is talking about food that has come into contact with water. That's clear in the pasuk. Rabbi Shimon and Lakish hachikim by Rabbi Reish Lakish's question was like this: Chibes hakodesh ka'icha baba mayim dami oiloi. Me, he says like this: yes, I know the pasuk says that to become susceptible to rendering, to becoming tamei, it's got to come in a liquid. That's what the pasuk says. But we also know, and we'll see in a moment the limud for it, that chibes hakodesh is also machshir. My question is that the same as the liquid or not? That's what Reish Lakish's question is. Rabbi Elazar, so he says like this, Rabbi Elazar, nami misuri kri kamar. So he says that it's from the extra words in the pasuk that he says this. Why? Mechdiksif. The pasuk says in the beginning, it's actually talking about the immediate subsequent pasuk, a few psukim later. Vechi yutan mayim al zera mikola oicha. So he says like this: when water will go on a liquid, liquid will go on a zera, on grain, on food. From that pasuk, I know that hechshel tuma is from liquid. If so, in the earlier pasuk, when it says mikola oicha sheye acheil, that Asheyavoy Alav Mayim, from all foods that water has come onto contact, that's a bit redundant. I already know that from the second pasuk, which is Chiyuton Mayim Al Zera. Lamali, why do I have this second pasuk? Says the Gemara, Lav Lamute Chibes HaKodesh. Isn't it coming to exclude Chibes HaKodesh to tell you, to stress a second time, that it is Dafka liquid that renders susceptible to Tumah to the full extent that there's a Rishon and a Sheni and the like, but not with regards to Chibes HaKodesh? Says the Gemara, Loi, no, not necessarily. Why do I need these two psukim? Chad betumas meis v'chad betumas sheretz. I need one to tell you that with regards to tumas meis, liquid renders something susceptible to tumah. And I need a pasuk to tell me with regards to other forms of tumah, such as a sheretz and a matzorah, etc., that liquid also renders susceptible to tumah, but it's not coming to exclude chibas hakodesh. Utzrichi, now why do I need two psukim? Yes.
Had a strawberry on the table. So while it was from the ground, you say it was a cage. Once they were warm, they become
tumah. Okay, that's a separate point. That with regards to tumah and tara, we do not have tumah v'tara anymore today. Right? Now, the laws of tumah v'tara, when we say hechshel tumah, that means even if the food stuff in the interim has become dried, so it got wet, and now even if it's dry, it was rendered susceptible to tumah. The basis for us having a zehirus, not touching wet foodstuffs, according to some, is based on the Magen Avram, which Alter Rebbe brings, that it was part of the Gezerah of Netilos Yadayim for bread, that foods which are wet in the liquid, we also don't eat without washing our hands first. We wash without a bracha, or eat it with forks, if it's a type of food that's eaten with a fork, etc., etc. Right. But that's not to do with the Tumah V'Tara. It's a hang-up from that, meaning it's an extension. It goes back, it dates back to the ideas of Tumah V'Tara, but here we're talking about Tumah V'Tara, and therefore, even if it was subsequently dried, it would be a problem.
That's why it's only for Pesach, because you do it the rest of the year.
That's Magen Avram. His view is that we don't do it the rest of the year. Whereas, okay, so he says like this. So why do I need two psukim? Why do I need to say the law of Hechsher b'mayim for tumas meis, and separately in another pasuk for tumas sheretz or other forms of tumah? Utzricha, I need both. Why? The ashmin tumas meis. If the pasuk would have only told me this law with regards to tumas meis, hasam hu deboy hechsher mishum deloy metam v'chadasha. There, I would think that only then, if it's wet, became wet with the liquid, only then it's mukshel tumah. But why? Because there is a weakness with tumas meis that it is not metame becha adasha. It's got a higher shear. Aval sheretz the metame becha adasha, but a sheretz where the tumah is transferred even with the smallest amount, like the size of an adasha, emaloi. I would say that no, in such a case, that it doesn't even need heksha with the liquid. The food automatically is susceptible to tumah, and therefore loy lebay heksha. Now, therefore, it has to tell us that. And if the pasuk would have only taught us a limud with regards to hechsher tumah with regards to a sheretz, I would think mishum deloy metame tumah shiva, because a sheretz does not render something tame for 7 days; it is only for the 1 day. Ava mace the metame tumah shiva, then a mace which renders someone tame for tumah 7 days is more strict. Ema, I would say that loy libay hechsher doesn't need hechsher at all; the food is becoming mekabel tumah even if there was no liquid there. And therefore, tzricha, I need to have both. And therefore, both psukim are with regards to heksha with a liquid, and they're both necessary, and if I cannot use one to exclude Hechsher from Chibas HaKodesh. Okay. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged this. He says, from our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Rabbi Shimon says, Huchshir b'shchita, that the animal becomes Huchshir l'tumah just from the shchita itself. Huchshir v'afil l'mimni b'hurishin v'sheini. And we see that it means even to extend with the purposes of tumah v'rishin and a sheini. And if so, there was no liquid there. So Chibas HaKodesh should be the same. And so he says, "Am I? Why is it? There was no liquid here. It's not. I mean, either there was no liquid kipshutoi, or the dam shchita he holds is not a liquid. But there was no hechsher with the liquid. Yet, why do we say that it is rendered susceptible to tumah even with regards to rishon and a sheni?" Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, "Asauhu kehechsher mayim midrabanan." He says, you're right. Rabbi Shimon would agree that midoraisa, if there is no liquid, it does not become muksha for tumah. With regards to a Rishon and a Sheni, it is a Gezeira midrabanan that the Shechita is Machshir. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir says, so therefore there's no proof from our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir brings a proof. Tashma kama learn, haboitza lagas. If a person is picking grapes for the wine press, Shammai Omer Huchshir, Shammai says that the grape is rendered susceptible to Tumah, because at the point in time when you're picking grapes for the press, there is inevitably some liquid that is going to come out of them, and that liquid is wine, and wine is one of the liquids is machshir l'tumah, and therefore Beis Shammai says that that renders susceptible to Tumah. Hillel Omer lo huchshir, but Hillel says that this wine is not rendering susceptible to Tumah. Why? So Hillel's reason is as follows. It says v'chiyutan mayim alzer, it's only when you want that liquid to come, then it renders susceptible to tumah. But before you've put your grapes in the press to make the wine, you don't want the wine to escape. You don't want the wine to, just from picking the grapes. And therefore, that wine will not render susceptible to tumah. Rashi says, well, what about Shammai? So he says, it's going to waste, and therefore you don't want that liquid out. Nonetheless, we made a gzeira shemi b'tzrena b'kupais mezufafais. Maybe you collect it in sealed kalim, been tarred at the bottom, in which case you don't mind that the wine comes out, because it's not going to get lost, it will be collected there, and therefore the rabbis made a gezeira. Now, the shasik, yeah, correct, the shasik lay Hillel l'shamai, and Hillel was quiet to Shammai, meaning that he was moide, he agreed. Now he says, if so, am I, v'ha lav oicha ba b'mayimu, it's not oicha haba b'mayim. Me says the habahai mashke loy nechale. Yeah, it's not. Why would Hillel agree? That liquid is not considered as a liquid for the purpose of hechshel tumah because it didn't come out with the intention or that you're happy with it. Amalai le'abaye. Abaye says asau kehechshel mayim midrabanan. It's a gezeira midrabanan. We saw that as Rashi just explained. It was a gezeira unless you collect the grapes in boxes that are sealed, in which case you're happy, you don't mind that the wine comes out, in which case there would be machshir l'tumah. And in this case, where even where it goes to the ibud, even when the wine gets lost, nonetheless, midrabanan. But midoraisa is only if there was a liquid. Amalei Rav Yosef says, Amin alach, ana huchshir b'shchita. I said to you the case of Rabbi Shimon where it says became huchshir just through shchita without liquid, va'at amrasli asur kehechshir mayim, and you just said that it was a gezeir d'rabbanan that they made it as though it was in contact with liquid. Va'amalach Rabbi Zera, and then Rabbi Zera said to you his proof of Beis Hillel with the grapes, va'amrasli, and you said to him asur kehechshir mayim, again it was only rabbinic and it made it as hechshir mayim. He says, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Nami. So therefore, I'll say for Reish Lakish as well, Nami asu keher shemaim. Reish Lakish had a question. So I'll say to you like this. Yes, be'emez midoy raisa, the chibas ha-kodesh for this mincha offering with this clump of flour without the liquid. It's not able to pass on tumah zorishin and esheni. But, midrabanan. They made it as like it was in liquid. Amalei said to him, Alter Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, litlois kimi ba'ilei. Was Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish asking about a derabanan where he says toilin? Because again, if the tumah, the kabbal, if the hechsher tumah is only mid derabanan, then if it receives tumah, the tumah is only derabanan. You can't burn tumah, which is tamei mid derabanan, because mid deraisa it's not tamei. So you'd be toilin. But Reish Lakish's question was not about toilin. He wants to know: is it pasul? Is it not pasul? When he asks, Lisrof, he's asking about whether you have to, whether you burn it or not, whether it is midoraisa mekabel tumah or not. Michlal de chibas hakodesh doraisa. What do you want to say that the fact that chibas hakodesh, the fact that it's a sacrifice, that itself is special and makes it susceptible to tumah, that that's doraisa? Menale, where do you learn this from? The pasuk only spoke about liquid. Vechiyutan mayim alzera mikol ha'oicha shei achel. Right, the pasuk only talks about liquid, so why would you say midoraisa chibas hakodesh is machshir? Elam, if you're going to tell me midichsiv, it's because the pasuk which says v'basa sheyiga b'chol tame, that the basar of a carbon which touches anything tame lo ye achel ba'ish yisarif, you have to burn it. Hi basar diskasher b'mai, and what did this basar become muchshel l'tumah for that it became tame? If it was through the blood, whereas when it comes to dam of other shchita of chulin, there was a machloikus whether that's machshir. That he says that the blood of shchita of a carbon is not machshir. From how do I know that? Shenema, the pasuk says loisachlenu ala aris tishbachenu kamayim. What? From that we learn the only blood which is poured out like water, meaning blood from a chulin animal, where you're not allowed to eat the blood, that blood you pour out on the ground, that is likened to water, and therefore that is machshir l'tumah. But blood which is not poured out on the ground like water, such as a sacrifice where you need the blood to put onto the mizbeach, that is not likened to water, and therefore the blood of shchita of a carbon does not render it susceptible to tumah. So how did this basar become tame? Ella, you have to tell me the iskasha b'mashke base mitbechaya. Maybe it got rendered susceptible to tumah from the liquids of the shchita place in the base hamikdash. Rashi says the water which is used to then rinse it. But Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said mashke base mitbechaya. Waters, liquids from the shchita place in the base hamikdash. Loi dain shein dechan. Not only are they themselves pure, meaning Rashi says that they cannot become tameh. Ella she'ein machshir, they are also not machshir for tumah. So this meat that the Torah says, this basar, which says that any basar which is touched, basar sheyiga b'chol tameh, that anything tameh touches it, you have to burn. Well, how did it become susceptible to tumah? It can't be from the shchita, because the blood of the shchita of a carbon is not a liquid. Can't be from the liquids, other liquids of water in the base hamikdash in the shchita area, because we have a kabbalah that is not rendering susceptible to tumah. V'chi teima, and if you're going to say, so, tirgama adam, v'ha, if you're going to tell me that it's talking about where there was blood, v'ha mashki kama, so it says the liquids of the base mitbechaya. You want to tell me that, when we say that the liquids of base mitbechaya are not rendering susceptible to tumah, maybe that only meant the blood. But what about our liquids? But it doesn't say blood. It says mashki in plural. All liquids of the shchita in the Beis HaMikdash, that shchita place, do not render susceptible to tumah. Ela lav, what do you have to say? Why is this meat susceptible to tumah? The iskasher bechibas hakodesh. It must be because it's a carbon, and the specialness of the carbon, that itself renders it as though it was huchshel tumah, and it's based on the pasuk of gezeiros hakasov in the Torah. So again, going back to a proof, the pasuk says that the meat of a carbon that became touched by tame, by saying tame, is tame and must be burnt. And it can't be from any liquids, because the shchita blood of a carbon is not a liquid for this purpose. And the liquids of the base mitbechai, it must be because of chibas hakodesh. And therefore, this is our proof that midoraisa, chibas hakodesh is machshir. Says the Gemara, v'dum k'der Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maybe it goes like the ruling of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel k'goin chayisa le para shel zivchei shlamim. That if you had a para of a shlamim offering that you were bringing, ve'vira benachal, and you brought it to the Beis Hamikdash passing through a stream, and obviously on the way the animal got wet, shachta, and then you shechta the animal, v'adayin tofeach alea, and at the time you shechta the animal, it's still moist, it's still wet from the stream. So therefore, that's why the pasuk says that this meat is rendered susceptible to tumah, because maybe we're talking about that particular case, and therefore it was with a liquid, not because of chibas hakodesh. So he says, Ella, so therefore that pasuk is not relevant. Ella misefa, rather it's from the pasuk v'habasar, and the basar. What's v'habasar? Called tahar. So he says, this v'habasar, Rashi says, is an extra word, because we already says in the beginning of the pasuk, we're talking about basar. It says v'habasar, and later it says, v'habasar kol tahar yoichal basar. Why do I have the repetition? The rabbis, etim ulevoina. It's coming to include the wood and the levoina. that they too, even though they're not technically foods in the traditional sense, the wooden, but because they're brought as part of the korbanos, they too are susceptible to tumas oichlin. If so, and what? They are, etim and levoina are foodstuffs? The laws of tumah only apply to food. So why are we saying that they are susceptible to tumah? So he says, Ella, you have to say, chibas hakodesh machshir lehu umashvelei oichol. That the chibas hakodesh, the fact that the levoina and the etim in the base hamikdash, the wood, is for a carbon, that elevates it, that chibas hakodesh, and therefore we treat it as though it was food. So to over here, I'll tell you the same thing. So to achanami chibas hakodesh machsharta. So to the chibas hakodesh also renders the meat of a carbon susceptible to tumah, and it's also therefore based on a limud mita a raisa. Okay, says the Gemara. My, what is the din? Kima hanya chibas hakodesh lepsula de gufei aval mina beirishoin v'sheni loy oidim loy shna. What about this levoina and the? And the wood, when we say the chibas hakodesh is machshir them to be mekabel tuma, so again, is that telling us that it only it becomes tame, but we don't count from it rishon and sheni, or maybe it's no different to if a liquid went onto it, where we count rishon and sheni, and so too over here. And the Gemara concludes teiku that this question remains unresolved. This